Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Sufa Arif, and this is the Real Talk for Real People study show. A study show that is designed to give you a complete picture of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. Not a tainted version, a cross-contaminated version, but a true version. Its codifications, specification, bird's eye view, critical analysis, and an assessment, intelligent, accurate. While we try to cross every T and dot every I and leave no stone unturned to get to the crux of the matter, what the LOM says. And I know that if you're a new student with us, you will be much informed. You will find some things that you never knew before because perhaps your family wasn't educated properly. But you can expect that in this Western Hemisphere to be misinformed and miseducated. Going on 403 years and counting. truth be told. But nevertheless, we're here to do our due diligence in these studies. And perhaps you're wondering who the we are making reference to. Well, Sister Abia of New York City, Brother Cottrell of New York City. And the thing I need to know about them, and the thing you need to know about them, is that they have wisdom and understanding, which they do. And that they love the Most High with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, and their brothers and sisters as they love themselves. And if it's good enough for the Elohim, it should be certainly good enough for us. Praise God and bless his holy name. Let me introduce them to you. Let me bring them up. So Stavia, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, family. All praises and glory to Yah, and it's always good to be back for another study. So, shalom.
Thank you. Always good to have you back, sister. Shalom. Brother Cottrell, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom, family. All praise to the Holy One of Israel, God Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Good to hear your voice. How are you doing tonight?
Good to hear you, brother. Doing well.
Praise Yah. Praise God.
Praise God. All right.
How you managing with the storm down south, man? Got all these back-to-back storms.
Just crazy, brother. Just crazy. Mm-hmm. Just try to deal with it the best you can.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
It's been pretty calm up here in New York. We ain't really getting no snow.
That's good. That's a good thing.
That's the problem.
Yeah, I know you are glad. That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Dr. L, Sister Abia, fellow students, if you guys ready to get busy, I certainly am. Turn to the 11th chapter of Bereshit. And that's, some of you call it Genesis, but we give you a correct name for it. And it's about the Tower of Babel, what went on there, and what the Most High do about it. Now, the whole earth had one language. We spoke one universal language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain, everybody, in the land of Shinar, which is on the southern part of Mesopotamia. And they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, you know, we get together, we can sure get ourselves in trouble, can't we? Come. Let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But Yah came down to see the city and the tower, which the sons of men had built. And Yah said, indeed, the people are one. And they have all one language. And this is what they began to do. Now, nothing that they proposed to do will be withheld from them. With the mind they own is universal mind. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So Yah scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Elohim confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Elohim scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. So we can get into some mischief. We get together one universal language, we can get into some mischief. As a matter of fact, we can get into the mystery with the many multiple languages we got. But we had one universal language. We could find ourselves trying to compete with the Elohim, as it were.
You know what that language was, Johnson?
Yes, brother. No, I don't, but I'm sure you'll let us know. Which language was it, Cartrell?
Hebrew.
Okay, good.
All the names you read,
right,
were Hebrew names.
Okay. I can believe that, God.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can believe it.
So when the ark landed and the Most High blessed Noah and his sons, what did he tell them to do? He said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So the Most High didn't want them to stay in one place. He wanted
right.
them to spread abroad across the
right.
world, but they refused. They wanted to challenge the Most High. They built a tower so that it was waterproof just in case a flood hit again. And they tried to do what they're doing now, put observations in the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
Now they got satellites. Back then they wanted to build a tower so they could watch.
Mm-hmm.
They still hadn't changed, Cartrell.
Oh, no.
Not in the least bit. And thank you, Cartrell. And I,
yes, sir.
Robert, what's that, Cartrell?
I said, yes, sir.
Okay. Now, Cartrell and fellow students, Yah discusses with us Shem's descendants. This is the genealogy of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and begot Exphat.
A foxite.
2 years after the flood, after he begot a foxite, Shem lived an additional 500 years and begot additional sons and daughters. A foxeye lived 35 years, and he begot Shelah. After he begot Shelah, a foxeye lived an additional 403 years, and begot additional sons and daughters. Shelah lived 30 years, and begot Eber. After he begot Eber, Shelah lived an additional 403 years, and begot additional sons and daughters. Eber lived 35 years and begot Peleg. After he begot Peleg, Eber lived an additional 430 years and begot additional sons and daughters. Peleg lived 30 years and begot Reuel. After he begot Reuel, Peleg lived an additional 299 years and begot additional sons and daughters. Reuel lived 32 years, and begot Sharuk. After he begot Sharuk, Reuel lived an additional 207 years and begot additional sons and daughters. Reuel lived 30 years and begot Nahor. After he begot Nahor, Sharuk lived an additional 200 years and begot additional sons and daughters. Nahor lived 29 years and begot Terah. After he begot Terah, Nahor lived an additional 119 years and begot additional sons and daughters. And it's getting down to the real nitty-gritty. Now, Terah lived 70 years and begot Abram. Y'all know who he is, don't you? Abram. Abraham. Nahor and Haran. Terah's descendants. This is the genealogy of Terah. Terah, Abraham's father, Abram, begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran begot Lot. That was his brother's child. Abram was Lot's uncle. And Haran died before his father, Haran, in his native land, in Ur of the Chaldeans. Then Abram and Nahor took wives. The wives of Abram's wife was Sarai. And the name of Nahor's wife was Melech, the daughter of Haran. Now, say it again.
Your phone is breaking up, Yamsa.
Okay. My apologies. Abram's wife was Sarah, and the name of Nahor's wife, Malka, the daughter of Haran, the father of Malkah, and the father of Askah. But Sarah was barren. She had no children. And Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarah, and his son Abram's wife, and they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah, which was Abram's father, was 205 years. And Terah died in Haran. So they tell you don't study genealogy in the new thing. But genealogy is very significant and important. I wish I know mine, but I will one day, the Most High willing. The genealogy is very significant and important, and certainly in regards to Abram, and Lot, who was Abram was his uncle. And that's why he used to come to his aid, because that was his nephew. We're going to let nothing happen to the youngster. But he always seemed to put himself in a bad situation. But that being said, that's neither here nor there. My study concluded on the genealogy on the Tower of Babel and how we can get ourselves into a mess, like Cartier alluded to. We're still trying to look into the heavens by way of telescopes and rocket ships and so on and so forth. Even though we have no invitation, we're still trying to get there. Cartier, right. Sister Abby, you have the mics. May the Most High bless you.
What I see out of this also is that shows that they didn't trust in Yah enough, because they decided to build, do what they thought was best and not what Yah building that tower.
Exactly.
And them building that tower, it caused Yah to divide the people up into different languages, territories, and nations. This is the origin of nations when they built that Tower of Babel, because they couldn't communicate with each other because they spoke different languages.
Mm-hmm.
But we also read about the genealogy of Shem in the last chapter, but it didn't break down the family of Arphaxad, who is Eber's father, who is Abraham's grandfather. After the Most High split up the people, insofar as nations are concerned, he began to focus on the seed of Shem, which is why we get this genealogy again, which is specific to our father Abraham. In his genealogy, we know that Milcah was Lot's sister. Did you pick that up?
Yes.
That Lot's sister was named Milcah because she was the daughter of Haran, and Lot's father is Haran.
Oh, okay.
And Haran is Abraham's brother. Haran is the young brother who died. But Haran seems to have had some territory when they left for Ur of Chaldees, which means that our ancient fathers were Chaldean. Abraham was Chaldean. Terah was Chaldean. They left Ur of Chaldea. So when we read about the Chaldeans, we're related to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they came to Haran, and the days of Terah were 205 years. So Abraham's father lived to be 205 years old. But you can see the lifespan of these people began to diminish. They ain't limited to be 300, 400, 500, 800, 900 years old anymore. Their lifespan is diminishing. They're having children early, and they're having a lot of sons and daughters. But the main sons will point it out, because all these men had sons and daughters, but the men that they name are men of God, or men who called on the Most High, or close to the Most High. That's why their names are mentioned, because you figure, why aren't, you know, these other sons and daughters mentioned? They lived 29 years and became the father of Terah. Nahor lived 19 years 119 years after he became the father of Terah, and became the father of more sons and daughters. We don't know who these sons and daughters are. But it's good to know your roots. It's good to know your history. And for us, this is where it all began. We know our roots is from Shem, that our ancient fathers were Chaldeans, and the Most High took our father Abraham and told him to leave his father's house, to leave the Chaldeans and go to the land of Canaan, where the Hamites live. So people don't understand his genealogy, but it's the real key to understand the scripture, and that's a historic book. Because all these people we're reading about existed, the Canaanites, the Chaldeans, they're not mythology, which means that the flood with Noah actually happened. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah.
Sorry about that, Contrail. So savvy, I spare slip away from the mic for a second. And fellow students, for Contrail, we're about ready to proceed to Ecclesiastes 9 to study then, the second segment of our studies.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, bro.
Got more poetry from King Lemuel, King Solomon. And he calls himself the preacher. I guess that's like a, you have ghostwriters.
Yeah.
Sometimes authors don't use their original name, they use another name. So, in the book of Ecclesiastes, King Solomon sees himself as a preacher. Right.
Yeah.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and for our King, King Solomon, who now imparted great wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Chapter 3, the book of Ecclesiastes, verse 1. For everything, there is a season and a time for every purpose under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time of love, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What profit has he who works in that in which he labors? I've seen the burden which Elohim has given to the sons of men to be afflicted with. He has made everything beautiful in this time. He has also set eternity in their hearts. Yet, so that man can't find out the work that Yah has done from the beginning even to the end. So that statement that he has made everything beautiful in his time and is a time and place for everything under the heaven, we see Yah's creation unfolding. We see Yah's master plan unfolding. We're living in a time of prophecy because the ancient prophecies, the ancient prophets told us about these times that were to come that we're living in now. So we see time unraveling, but time was already set from eternity. And he says he has also set eternity in their hearts. In the hearts of who? In the hearts of men. Because you have the gift of eternity within your heart, if your heart is right. If your heart is not right with Yah, that key to eternity is turned off. So eternity is there. He has also set eternity in your heart. The heart is right. Yet so that man can't find out the work that Yah has done from the beginning even unto the end. You're not privy to that. You can't see eternity. I know that there is nothing better. What is better? For them to rejoice and to do good. Rejoice and do good as long as you live. What you're supposed to do? Rejoice and do good. Also, that every man should eat and drink and enjoy good in all his labor is the gift of Yah. So he's supposed to enjoy this life by living right, by doing righteousness, by following Yah's path. You should be able to rejoice with the good and the bad. I know that whatever Yah does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken away from it. There goes the New Testament, trying to add to eternity, something that's everlasting. You can't add to everlasting, because everlasting is established. That's what makes it so precious. It's like gold. How long is gold precious for? How long are diamonds precious for? Forever. And Yah has done it, that men should fear before him. Right, because he knows the secrets to eternity. We have our limitations. We are frail. We have a beginning, we have a middle, and an end, unless our hearts are keyed in to eternity. That which has been long ago and that which is to be has been long ago. Now, people might be confused from that statement, but Yah has an eternal mind. So he sees way beyond what we see. His thoughts are eternal. So everything that's unfolding is from eternity. So that which was long ago was already in Yah's mind. Elohim seeks again, which has passed away. And what has passed away? Many people have passed away, right?
Exactly.
Again, if their hearts were right. Elohim seeks again that which has passed away. Or we say when people die, oh, they pass. Oh, Yah doesn't forget them. He remembers them. Because like it says, there's a time and place for everything under the heavens. The souls of men and women will be judged. There's going to come a time for that. Moreover, I saw under the sun in the place of justice that wickedness was there. Oh, that's America and every other nation that's under the sun. Where's justice? No justice, no peace. That's why there's no peace in the earth, because there is no justice. And in the place of righteousness, that wickedness was there. You can't even find places of righteousness. I said in my heart, Yah will judge the righteous and the wicked. That's the end of the matter and the end of days. Every soul that has been born, the Most High has been the judge between the righteous and the wicked. For there is a time there for every purpose and for every work, which means that everybody that lives is going to be judged based on whether they did right or whether they did wickedly. King Solomon said, I said in my heart, as for the sons of men, Elohim test them. Yeah, everybody alive that Yah has created is and has been tested. Have we passed the test? Are we considered righteous or are we considered wicked? There's only two answers, one or the other. So that they may see that they themselves are like animals. Oh, man is like animals. For that which has happened to the sons of men happens to animals. Even one thing happens to them. As the one dies, so the other dies. Men die, animals die. Same thing. Go back to the dust. Your body decomposes. So in King Solomon's mind, that's what he perceives. Yes, they all have one breath, and man has no advantage over the animals for all his vanity. All go to one place. All are from the dust, and all turn to dust again. Who knows the spirit of man? Oh, now that question comes in. What happens to the soul of man? When it goes upward into the heavens, and the spirit of the animal, when it goes downward into the earth, what is absolved, demolished, or vanquished. Nobody knows for sure, except for the Most High. Therefore, I saw that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his works, for that is his portion. For who can bring him to see what will be after him? Now we have prophets that could do that. Prophets that could see into the future, that could tell you what will be and what's going to happen. And the prophet says that the Most High is going to restore that eternal life into the earth, that he's going to conquer death, that men will live to be as old as the trees, that you would die at 100 and you would be like a baby. So we're watching Yah's plan unfold, creation unfold. Like King Solomon said, there is nothing new under the sun. Everything that was, will be, has been done. And we can't wrap our minds around that because we don't understand eternity. But a pretty deep meditation, a pretty deep poem from our King, King Solomon. All praises. Hallelujah.
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 Now I look back and I say, I see in here also how I look back and I see all the trials and the storms I've been through and how I used to say, why me, God? Why me? But now I look at it and say those was to myself that he let me go through what I went through so I can learn to have faith and be strong in him. That's the way I see it. So I just say praise Yah. Hallelujah.
Praise Yah. Well, thank you, God.
I think that the 17th verse is the most essential verse out of all that he wrote. All that he wrote is important. But 17 says, and then I said in my heart, Yah will judge the righteous and the wicked. That's all we got to worry about. We ain't got to be judges. You got to worry about yourself. For there is a time, yeah, for every purpose and for every work. I said in my heart, for the sons of men, Yah test them so that they may see that they themselves are like animals. So we need to be humble and reflect on ourselves, whether we're doing good works that we can rejoice in. And when Yah judges us, what will he say? Have we been righteous or have we been wicked? So don't worry about nobody else. Worry about yourself. Praise Yah.
Hallelujah.
Praise Yah. Thank you, Country. Thank you, Sister Abia. And most importantly, thank you, LOM. And thank you, fellow students, too, also. this cold is breaking up, as you can see. But praise Yah for that. This hair cold. And I'm grateful for the opportunity, along with Brother Cartrell and Sister Abia, to bring the LOM's word to you. Now, we used to have an old saying when we first started studying. We can take a horse to the water, but we can't make it drink. It's up to you to drink. And we're not going to argue and fuss and fight with you. We didn't write it. We're just spokespersons. And if you got a problem with whatever, we study about it. Take it to the LOM. We just spokespersons, okay? That being said, Cartrell, Sister Abia, any closing remarks and a comment?
No, just stay safe and shalom and good night, family.
Thank you, sister. You stay safe, too.
And both of y'all said a mouthful, but what you said, Yah Suh, I want to add on. We're not here for entertainment, for, you know, jokes or anything like that. We're trying to do Yah's work. Bring Yah's plan, bring Yah's work, his way to the people, to the world, so that we could reflect on ourselves. And when his judgment comes down, we can say that we heard Yah's word and we made the necessary changes.
Exactly.
So for me, it's always for me to make the necessary changes and help others do the same thing. So I hope we're doing that because we have to apply this stuff. It ain't no joke. All praise.
And I had to co-sign with Cartrell on that. We have to apply this stuff. We have to. That being said, we don't know where y'all are going, but you got to get out of here. But we love you. May the Most High bless you. Continue to direct and order your step and try to get you some wisdom and understanding. Stop being stupid. We love you. May the Most High bless you. Shalom and good night.
I've been there once and I'll go again, just as long as you're the one to take me in. Like a free bird circling in the wind, I'll fly to your cage so you can take me in. Oh, won't you take me in? I've seen our mothers cry within, from our fathers who refused to call us in. But I